I'm Joe Bob Fillmore. Straight, this is TheBealPod.com. The Week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from incredibly rainy San Francisco, California. Today is Thursday, the 9th of February, 2017. On this date in 1920, under the terms of the Svalbard Treaty, international diplomacy recognizes Norwegian sovereignty over the Arctic archipelago Svalbard and designates it as demilitarized, something that is changing now that North Sea drilling is becoming possible due to climate change, and particularly Russia's interest in aggression in the area, along with ExxonMobil. 1950, U.S. Senator Joe McCarthy launches a second Red Scare when, while giving a public speech, claims to be in possession of a list of known communists working in the State Department. 1959, the R-7 Semyorka, the first intercontinental ballistic missile, becomes operational at Plesetsk, USSR. 1964, the Beatles appear on the Ed Sullivan Show for the first time, performing for a television audience of 73 million people across the United States, a record at the time. They open with All My Lovin'. 1991, the people of Lithuania vote in favor of a referendum on independence from the Soviet Union. 93.2% of the voters vote yes to independence. Lithuania is recognized as independent from the Soviet Union on the 6th of September. Birthdays are Thomas Paine, Joseph Stiglitz, and Alice Walker. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. The podcast is written by Joe Larson. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to TheBealPod.com or send us an email at TheBealPod@gmail.com. Last week, the Georgian government promised to extend the benefits of visa liberalization to the EU with the EU to residents of Abkhazia and South Ossetia, allowing them to obtain Georgian passports and use them to travel to Europe. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili promised the benefits belong to all of Georgia, including breakaway territories. However, State Minister for Reconciliation Ketevan Tsikelashvili said in an interview with Civil.ge that only those who become Georgian citizens will be able to benefit. She said the government will work to make it easier for residents of the breakaway territories to obtain citizenship, but those legal procedures have to comply with Georgia's obligations to the European Union. That offer hasn't sat well with the authorities in Abkhazia and South Ossetia. The Abkhaz Foreign Ministry issued a statement saying that Tbilisi's offer is just political manipulation aimed at dragging Abkhazians back into Georgia. They also call on the European Union to refuse to allow Georgia to extend visa liberalization and instead to de-isolate Abkhazia directly. South Ossetia's foreign ministry made a similar statement saying that visa liberalization does not apply to South Ossetians and that people living in the territory made their choice to be independent 25 years ago. They called the offer a propaganda trick ultimately aimed at annihilating the South Ossetian people. Also regarding visa liberalization, Ricard Josviak, a reporter from Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty, reported that the visa liberalization for Georgia will most likely enter into force on the 29th of March. Exactly as TheBealPod.com predicted, as if I may mention that. National Movement is organizing a rally for the 10th of February to oppose the Supreme Court potentially ruling against the current ownership of Rustavi Ori in an ownership dispute case ongoing since 2015. Nika Melia of the National Movement said they've received information that the Supreme Court will rule sometime before the 15th. They also plan to rally in order to show support for judges whom they believe are under pressure from Otsneba to rule against the station's owners. He didn't say where they got that information. That announcement came days after two judges, Besarion Arveladze and Pata Katamadze, complained to law enforcement that they were being pressured, although it isn't known for certain who applied that pressure. All we know is that it was an unnamed former government official who wrote them letters and sent text messages urging them to rule a certain way. After that announcement, accusations began to fly. Rustavi Ori director Nika Kvaramia said the judges had been pressured by the state security service to rule against the TV channel. He didn't substantiate those claims. Then the prosecutor's office realized some of the text messages allegedly sent to the judges which were sent from Ukraine and signed by a certain D. Sakhvaralidze, who is believed to be Dato Sakhvaralidze, Georgia's former deputy chief prosecutor and close associate of Misha, who moved to Ukraine after Otsneba gained power in 2012. They also released a letter urging the judges to go public and say they were being pressured by the authorities to try and create a scandal. The origin and validity have not been verified, though, and Sakura denies having anything to do with it. Since I know I always sign my text messages D. Sakura Lidze or M. Mullen, but okay, whatever. At the end of the podcast, we will have a 5-minute segment by the lawyer for Rustavi Ori, Tamtam Muradashvili, about the case that will clarify what it is about. For those who don't know, it is completely motivated politically, and if the Supreme Court decides against it, Rustavi Ori, the most important opposition voice in the country, will be silenced on completely spurious grounds. But the details are important because the judiciary is much more independent now than it was under Misha. And the fact that this is being decided in the courts at all is quite important. In Misha's time, opposition stations were silenced much more brutally and quickly. The government is working for the release of Georgi Gunashvili, a Georgian citizen who was recently sentenced to 20 years in prison by the South Ossetian authorities for allegedly crossing the border illegally, participating in the 2008 war, committing terrorist acts, attempting murder, and theft of weapons and ammunition. Gunashvili was first detained by Russian soldiers in June of 2016, was held in pretrial detention until being sentenced on the 3rd of February. The South Ossetian authorities claimed he is a terrorist and a member of an illegal armed group, that he illegally exploded a grenade on South Ossetian territory in 2007. Georgia's State Security Service issued a statement saying that Gunashvili was illegally detained and charges against him were fabricated. The ombudsman also referred to the conviction as unlawful and called on the South Ossetian authorities to release him. The government said that it will work within the Geneva format at the International Prevention and Response Mechanism, or IPRM, to see that he is released. In travel to and from Georgia, Austrian Foreign Minister Sebastian Kurz, who's also chairman of the Organization of Security Cooperation in Europe, or OSCE, visited Georgia late last week to meet with President Georgi Margvelashvili, Prime Minister Georgi Kvitikashvili, and Foreign Minister Mikhail Janelidze. Earlier this week, Janelidze went to France to meet with French Secretary for European Affairs Harlem Désir. He also met with Elisabeth Gougo, the chairperson of the French Assembly's Foreign Affairs Commission. Currently, Janelidze is in Washington to meet with representatives of the Trump administration, including U.S. Secretary of State working on behalf of ExxonMobil, Rex Tillerson, and working on behalf of the Kremlin, National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. The two sides are focusing on the strategic partnership signed between the two countries in 2016. Georgia's special envoy to Russia, Zurab Ashidze, met with Russia's Deputy Foreign Minister Grigory Karasin in Prague on the 7th of February as part of the informal Abashidze-Karasin meeting format that has been going on since 2012. This week, the talks focused on economic and transportation ties, but Karasin also said that Moscow is willing to simplify its visa regime with Georgia and even consider a visa waiver system in the future. Abashidze raised the issue of Georgi Gunashvili, a Georgian man sentenced to 20 years in prison by the South Ossetian authorities. The next bilateral meeting is scheduled for May. I'm sure Karasin said, oh, well, that's a domestic South Ossetian sovereign matter, frustratingly, but okay, whatever. South Ossetian President Leonid Tibulov signed a decree on the 6th of February setting a referendum on changing the breakaway region's name to the Republic of South Ossetia, the state of Alania. The referendum will take place on the 9th of April to coincide with presidential elections. Tibulov and others have been promoting this idea for some time. It would symbolically bring South Ossetia closer to unification with Russia, as the name Alania is also associated with North Ossetia. Tbilisi blasted the decision, with the prime minister saying the name change is an attempt to annex Georgia's sovereign territory. President Margvelashvili added that any referendum held in South Ossetia is illegitimate because the territory is occupied by a foreign state, and the outcome can't reflect the will of the population because so many local residents have been displaced by war and are unable to participate. Displaced by war, meaning forced out. Russian soldiers based in South Ossetia were put on the highest level of combat readiness as part of an inspection by Colonel General Alexander Dvornikov, who is commander of Russia's Southern Military District. The exercise involved more than 500 soldiers who marched to designated areas and used a range of heavy weapons. A school in Batumi associated with Turkish cleric Fethullah Gulen was shut down this week by the government, which suspended its license. The Refadin Sahin Friendship School has been accused by the Turkish authorities of serving terrorist groups loyal to Gulen, although there is no evidence of the school supporting terrorism or of Gulen being a terrorist himself. He lives in Pennsylvania. Basically, Erdogan has been a busy, busy bee and has a bee in his bonnet about Gulen and is forcing all allies to shut down the schools that they've set up, of which there are some in Georgia. Of course, the people who are most enthusiastic about tossing around the word terrorist apply it to everyone they don't like. The Turkish government believes a U.S.-based cleric was behind the failed group coup attempt in July. The government hasn't published its official decision on closing down the school, but a spokesperson for the National Center for Educational Quality Enhancement, the body that oversees school licenses, said that monitoring found serious violations of regulations, including enrollment procedures. That is, of course, BS. There's not a school in Georgia that they couldn't find some problem with. They are just doing what the Turks want. That alleged violation is that the school improperly enrolled 10 Turkish citizens, but according to the school principal, they had received prior permission to do so. According to Georgian law, schools have 60 days to come up with a plan for fixing the regulatory violation. Corrupt blowhard Vasiko Makhlaparidze, the new director general of the public broadcaster, has already stoked controversy by announcing plans to suspend the broadcaster's TV and radio programming, citing low viewership. This is, of course, what he was brought in to do. The plans were detailed in his action plan for 2017 through 2019, which aims to recover the broadcaster from crisis and create conditions for sustainable progress. That includes shutting down all TV and radio programming except for news programs until 2018, cutting staff, updating equipment, infrastructure, and introducing more competition into the broadcaster's activities. Makhlaparidze stressed that the programming will be temporarily suspended, not terminated, just enough for them to get rid of all of the experienced and independent people and hire allies of his masters. The action plan will be considered by the broadcaster's board of trustees on the 10th of February. The announced plans have been criticized by opposition politicians and civil society organizations. A coalition for media advocacy, a group of about 12 civil society and media organizations, issued a statement calling the plan radical and saying that it will paralyze the broadcaster for at least a year, which is especially problematic because municipal elections and the constitutional reform process will take place while the programming is suspended. The hardest working NGO in the South Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, agreed that reform is needed, but called on the broadcaster to make sure that those reforms don't serve specific political objectives. Three Democrats went further, saying the reforms are a threat to freedom of speech and are aimed at silencing voices critical of the government. Makhlaparidze was previously an employee of Georgian Dream Studio, a station owned by Bera Ivanishvili. Many people believe he isn't sufficiently politically independent for the role. Yeah. Parliament approved Otsneba MP Manana Kobakhidze to fill a vacancy on the Constitutional Court. She is the one famous for taking bribes from families while on the Pardon Commission and is bad news. First, Kobakhidze was approved by the Parliamentary Legal Issues Committee, obtaining 10 votes from other Otsneba members and one vote from the Kremlin stooges, the Alliance for Patriots. Her appointment was then confirmed by a plenary vote where she received 101 votes in favor and 10 against. Kobakhidze has been an Otsneba MP since 2012 and previously served as vice speaker. Opposition parties and civil society organizations don't think her appointment was such a good idea, viewing Kobakhidze's appointment as an attempt to politicize the court. Otar Kohidze of the National Movement, Splinter Party Movement for Liberty, European Georgia, complained that she doesn't have any of the required qualifications, and Samira Ismailova of the National Movement accused her of being under direct control of Bidzina. Georgi Beraya of Transparency International Georgia said the appointment does increase the risk that the court will become politicized. The Constitutional Court seat has been vacant since September, when Ketevan Eremadze's 10-year term expired. Gigi Ugulaba gave an interview with Net Gazeti, where he spelled out his own political ambitions and those for the Movement for Liberty European Georgia, the political party launched by defectors from the National Movement. He said the party would be center-right, oriented towards maximum economic liberalization and economic and political freedom, saying there are no political freedoms with economic freedoms and vice versa. The main difference between them and the National Movement, in his view, is that they put more emphasis on the rights of individuals vis-a-vis the state, whereas the National Movement is mostly focused on state interests. Ugalava also owned up to the party's mistakes while he was Tbilisi mayor, saying the spread of reform led to the party losing sight of the rights of individuals. The speed of reform led to the party losing sight of the rights of individuals. He vowed that the new party will address past mistakes and recapture the ideals of the Rose Revolution. I found his apology half-hearted and tepid. On the other hand, at least it's a start, and it's a lot more than most of the rest of those clowns have done. Gheorghe Mujicneli was sentenced to 13 years in prison for the murder of 32-year-old Zizi Shekliadze, a transgender woman he attacked with a knife in October 2016. She died in November. 3 years were added to his sentence because at the time of the crime, he was on 3 years probation for another offense. The court finds files made no mention of the murder being a hate crime. According to the ruling, the victim and perpetrator first met in 2001 when they did time together in prison. On the night of the murder, they were in the middle of a drunken argument when Mujicneli hit Shekliadze with a slab of concrete and slit her throat with a kitchen knife. According to the Women's Initiative Support Group, or WISG, there were at least 20 attacks on transgender people in 2016. Four transgender women were attacked at a nightclub in Tbilisi this week. The attack happened during early morning hours on the 6th of February on El Bakidze Street near Rustaveli Metro. According to a report from WISG, one of the victims has a broken arm, two have bruises, one has an injured nose. Police have launched an investigation but haven't made any arrests thus far. Don't hold your breath. The WISG will ensure that the victims are represented in court if they ever find whoever did it, which they don't seem to be in a rush on. Imedi TV finalized its purchase of 100% of the shares of Georgian Dream Studios, or GDS, a station owned by Beda Ivanishvili. Imedi is owned by Ina Gudavadze, the widow of the late media tycoon Budrik Patrikatsashvili, and tends to be supportive of Otsneba, as is GDS. Imedi also recently purchased Maestro TV, and the three channels will be merged within Imedi Media Holding. Bidzina has stated that GDS will terminate its political programming and focus only on entertainment. It has already canceled 2030, its daily news show. A group of workers and trade unionists have been demonstrating since the 2nd of February when 350 workers at the Rustavi Azot chemical plant were terminated without warning. They demonstrated on Rustaveli Avenue in Tbilisi on the 7th, according to dismissed workers. They showed up for work on the 26th of January, but were refused entry into the building. Each worker was promised 500 lari per month for 3 months as compensation. The trade union rejected that offer, but it's ultimately up to each worker to decide whether or not to accept it. Demonstrators also protested against Bank of Georgia, which owns Rustavi Azot. Tatuli Chubabria of the Human Rights Education and Monitoring Center contributed to our coverage of this story. Thanks a lot, Tatuli. A 48-year-old Georgian citizen was detained by Russian border guards near the administrative boundary line with South Ossetia, which usually means abductive for a fine. He was picked up, a fine, meaning ransom. He was picked up near the village of Zerti in Gori municipality, according to neighbors. He went to collect wood, never returned home. The man's family say they have no money to pay for his release, so are appealing to the government for help. Geostat published new inflation statistics. During the month of January, year-on-year inflation was 3.9%. The biggest increases were for alcohol and tobacco, which were subject to big excise tax increases, and transportation and communication. Prices for clothing, footwear, and household furnishings were cheaper than 1 year prior. The Georgian company GDG Group announced plans to build two hotels in Tbilisi. One will be in Sabartalo, the other in Tatsminda. Total investment will be $7 to $8 million. They're both scheduled to open in 2019. The company will also manage the hotels. GDG Group's business primarily focuses on residential construction, but they conducted a study in 2015 finding there is still a lot of untapped potential in the local hotel market. Ministry of Labor plans to investigate labor conditions at the supermarket chain Fresco. This comes after several employees complained about very poor working conditions. The ministry will meet the employees with employees as well as managers. The company Kareli Fruits is preparing to export its products for the first time later this year. They produce dried fruits under the brand name Chicori. Current products include dried watermelon and dried fruits dipped in chocolate. They launched in 2015. French wine enthusiasts were treated to Georgian wines as a series of exhibitions at a series of exhibitions this week held in the cities of Toulouse, Lyon, Blois, Angers, and Saumur. The attendees were invited to taste Quevri-made wines from Nicolazze cellar, Antazze cellar, Pheasant's Tears, Orco's wines, and Iago's wines, and Cortavebi wine cellars. The event was put on by the National Wine Agency. Georgia was featured at the Baltur Trade Fair in Riga, Latvia, an annual trade fair attended by about 28,000 tourism professionals and travelers. Georgia was represented by the National Tourism Administration, Ajara Tourism Administration, and some tour agencies. Rusudan Glurjidze's film House of Others won a Spotlight Award from the American Society of Cinematographers. Specifically, the award went to director of photography Gorka Gomez Andreu. The film is a joint Georgian-Spanish production that has gotten a lot of buzz over the past year and was submitted for an Oscar consideration in the foreign language film category. Opera singer Anita Ratsvelashvili was nominated for a top prize, the Female Singer category, in 2017 International Opera Awards. The winner will be revealed at a ceremony in the London Coliseum on the 7th of May. In parliamentary news, Parliament overrode the President's veto of the Judicial Reform Bill with 97 votes in favor. Late April, he vetoed a package of judicial reforms that were passed by Parliament on the 29th of December. The package included 8 bills which established the following: an electronic case management system which will assign cases randomly, lifting the 3-year probation period for judges before they can begin a lifetime appointment of the constitutional courts of the Supreme Court, and requiring the Supreme Court to have no fewer than 16 judges, but they can appoint more if they want, which is an incredibly powerful political opportunity given to those who appoint judges. Now that the veto is overridden, it will become law. The bill's backers in Otsneba needed only a simple majority of 76 votes to override. They got a lot more than that. As for the surveillance bill, the President's administration has launched consultations with members of Parliament, telecommunications companies, and civil society organizations, including Transparency International Georgia. Last week, the parliamentary group tasked with crafting new surveillance regulations proposed creating a new agency under the State Security Service, which would have the power to monitor telephone and internet communications and conduct video and audio surveillance, and would be under the thumb of the leadership exactly as it is now. The meme this week is a clip from the IMEDI program Risk Factor, where their reporter gets up close and personal with a truly awful situation facing pedestrians in Tbilisi. It's something we've all seen before, but the clip is worth checking out anyway. Luis Navarro, writing for the Atlantic Council, has a fantastic piece on the rise and fall of Misha, who will probably never get another chance in Georgia and whose Ukrainian project is not likely to go anywhere. The national movement now has only 7 current MPs. Misha's barred by residency requirements from running for Ukraine's presidency in 2019. His only chance is to try for prime minister with his new political party, New Force for Ukraine. But by all accounts, they aren't very popular. They're really just a personal vehicle for Misha. In Navarro's view, Misha's greatest enemy has always been the same as his greatest and only interest, which is himself. Michael Cicieri, writing for Foreign Affairs, discusses the peculiar motivation behind Russia's recent foreign adventures, state branding. Russia is less concerned with concrete interests and more concerned with looking and acting like a superpower with global reach, both in front of foreign and domestic audiences. Case in point is the August War, where Russia quickly and easily achieved its stated goal of defending South Ossetia from Georgian aggression. Opening a second front in Abkhazia and penetrating deep into Georgian territory weren't necessary to achieve their goal, but did send a message about Russia's renewed military might. Lincoln Mitchell has a new Georgia analysis, this one devoted to a new security strategy for Georgia. With Trump in the White House and the high likelihood that NATO loses its relevance or at least refuses to let in any new members, Georgia should stop viewing foreign policy in terms of a U.S.-Russia binary. A new national security strategy needs to take a more global perspective. Hedging is important, so deeper ties with China are a good idea. Most importantly, though, Georgia needs to send a message to Russia and the West and elsewhere that it has more value as a functioning sovereign state than as a conflict region. Gyorgy Lomsadze, writing for Eurasianet, covers Georgia's promise to extend visa liberalization benefits to residents of Abkhazia and South Ossetia. That hasn't been popular with the de facto authorities or Moscow, who instead want the EU to start accepting visa applications from the breakaway territories. That's unlikely to happen. Liz Fuller for Radio Free Europe. Radio Liberty covers the name change referendum in South Ossetia, in particular taking close look at how the name change is related to the politics of unification with Russia. BBC looks at Georgia and its quixotic quest to be accepted into the Rugby Six Nations. Georgia has outgrown its outsider status, having won the Rugby European Championship six times and performing well at the most recent World Cup. They've also ranked higher than Italy, which is in the Six Nations. Unfortunately, the organization has ruled out any promotion or relegation, at least anytime soon. Judy Dempsey, writing for Carnegie Europe, discusses the attraction of Trumpism and Putinism in Europe. Trump views NATO and EU and the EU as useless, obsolete organizations that weaken their member states. Putin sees them as exactly the opposite, which is why he's so opposed to them. The biggest threat to both organizations is that their members start looking to make bilateral deals with either the U.S. or Russia. The answer? European leaders need to come up with a serious agenda for dealing with Trump and providing tougher resistance to Putin. All this stuff to read is posted on the forum. This week's dive bar number is 73, the percentage of Georgians who get most of their political information from television, according to the November 2016 NDICRC poll. For people in rural areas, that goes up to 88%. By contrast, only 6% of people rely primarily on the internet. Rewoven is having exhibition of its rugs on Saturday, the 11th of February at 3 p.m. in Dihomi. All the rugs will be available for purchase. Rewoven produces high-quality rugs using traditional methods, including hand-spun wool, yarn, and natural dyes. The rugs are produced by local weavers in Georgia. If interested in attending, send an email to info@rewoven.net. That's info@rewoven.net. They'll send you the exact location of the exhibition, how to get there. This is really cool, and everybody should go to this thing if they can. It's on the 11th of Saturday, the 11th of February. That's this coming Saturday. The Calvert Journal has a travel guide app that's downloadable on iTunes. The app covers Tbilisi, Kiev, Moscow, Kazan, and other destinations. Go to the iTunes store and search for New East Travel Guide. From the British Georgian Society, author and trade unionist Eric Lee will give a talk about his upcoming book, The Georgian Democratic Republic of 1918 to 1921. It's the 22nd of February at the Georgian Embassy in London, starting at 6:30. And now we will have a five-minute chronology of the trumped-up, completely silly court case the government is bringing against Rustavi Ori in order to silence them. This is Tamta Muradashvili, their lawyer. Thanks to Tamta for doing this for us. If you have any questions for her, post them or email them, and I will see if I can get answers from her.
Today, I would like to briefly talk about the attempted takeover of Rustavi II. Founded in 1994 by Erosi Getzmanishvili, Rustavi II has been the most popular and successful broadcasting company in Georgia with pro-Western editorial policy. During the presidency of Eduard Shevardnadze and governance of Aslan Abashidze in Adjara, Rustavi II has been the main media platform for the opposition parties and played a major role in the Rose Revolution. Rustavi II maintained high ranking during Mikhail Saakashvili's presidency as well. Rustavi II has been in competition with Imedi TV from 2003. The latter one was founded by a businessman, Badri Batarkatsishvili. In 2012, Bidzina Ivanishvili's government came to power, and immediately they started targeting attacks against Rustavi II. The methods of attacks were intimidation of management and journalists of Rustavi II, measures aimed at undermining financial independence of free media, and attempted takeover of the company with the help of court and with the help of Kibar Khalvashi, the former owner of Rustavi II, back in 2004-2006. On August 4, 2015, Kibar Khalvashi filed an application to Tbilisi City Court with a request to impose interim injunction on Rustavi II's and its owner's property. Next day, on August 5th, Judge Utmelidze satisfied Khalvashi's application and issued an interim order freezing all assets of Rustavi II, undermining its financial sustainability. Due to this order, up to today, Rustavi is banned from undertaking any financial commitments such as bank loans, using bank guarantees or other financial instruments, causing major problem for the media company's cash liquidity. On October 1, 2015, Tbilisi City Court issued another restrictive order against the interests of Rustavi II, imposing an asset freeze on the 100% shares of TV company Sakartvelo, a parent company of Rustavi II. Based on Rustavi II's application on November 2nd, Constitutional Court of Georgia temporarily suspended the law, allowing immediate enforcement of a judgment of a court of the first instance. This decision prevented Judge Utmelidze to consider possibility of issuing special order requesting immediate execution of his decision, which in the case of favorable decision for the plaintiff, Kibar Khalvashi, would have enabled him de facto takeover of the company before Rustavi would have been able to exercise its right to appeal. On November 3, 2015, City Court Judge Utmelidze delivered the final decision and granted total 100% ownership rights to the plaintiff, Kibar Khalvashi. 2 days later, Judge Utmelidze made another injunction order replacing management of Rustavi II by appointed temporary administrators as the caretakers of the company. Utmelidze's ruling came a few days after the decision of the Constitutional Court on November 2nd, which suspended the use of the legal clause which would have allowed immediate enforcement of the Tbilisi City Court decision. Temporary injunction was based on the sole argument that editorial policy of the TV channel contains threats to the financial well-being of the company, and therefore current management needs to be replaced by temporary administrators entrusted with the task of ensuring balanced editorial policy and, if needed, to be reorganization of the TV channel. Based on Rustavi II's application on November 13, 2015, Constitutional Court suspended provision of the law applied by Judge Utmelidze for the appointment of temporary administrators in Rustavi II. Constitutional Court underlined that interim measure on temporary administrators was in conflict with Constitution, namely with the fundamental right of freedom of speech and expression. Rustavi II filed an application to the second instance appellate court on December 28, 2015. On April 21, 2016, court appeal started consideration of substantive part of the case, and on June 10, it announced decision, and it uphold decision of the first instance court reinstating ownership rights of Kibar Khalvashi. From July 2016, Rustavi II case goes to the Supreme Court of Georgia. On September 9, Supreme Court considered Rustavi II's appeal admissible. And on November 21, Supreme Court panel, which consisted of three judges, made a decision to handle the case to the Grand Chamber of the Supreme Court under the grounds of the complexity of the case, as the content of the matter was characterized by rare difficulties in law. Rustavi II filed motions on recusal of three judges that sit in the Grand Chamber, as these three judges are linked to government and are considered as biased. As of today, it is unknown who will be sitting in the Grand Chamber and when the Supreme Court shall start hearings.
Thank you, Tomta. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com. Our post to the forum on our website, which is tbilpod.com. And we will finish with 1977 from Atlanta, Georgia. This is Jerry Reed, the song from the classic movie Smokey and the Bandit. No meaning to this, but here we are with Eastbound and Down.
Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just like no bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal, son, never mind him, bro.
break. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch your bandit run. They say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch your bandit run. Old Smokey's got them ears on. He's hot on your trail. He ain't gonna rest till you're in jail. So you got to dodge him, you've got to duck him. You gotta keep that diesel trucking. Just put that hammer down and give it hell. Eastbound and down. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch your bandit run.